Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. This is Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm here with Elena Svetzlot, and we're going to address marriage. And here's why. Marriage is so important. It is like the central relational unit in a family from which all other units flow. And so if we can talk about parenting, which that's what we do most of the time, but we're going to spend some time talking about marriage and some things we can learn from marriage as we move forward. So Elena, thanks for joining me on this pilgrimage here.
Hi, Dr. Scott. Yes, very excited actually, because it's an area that we have not discussed before on our podcast. So not only have we discussed about how to help children and a change in their heart, but now we will actually help parents by helping them focus on themselves and on their marriage. So I am really excited to hear about your new book, which would you like actually to introduce it to us?
Sure. I wrote the book, Activate Your Marriage, after working on parenting for the last 30 years or so. I've been working in this field of parenting. And a lot of times people have said to me, as in the last session I just did today, that people will say to me, wow, we need this in our marriage, not just with our kid, or I need this as a mom, or I need this as a dad. This isn't just for my working on my children. And so I've been asked to do work in marriage, or I mean, I do counsel with families or parents in regards to their marriage, but I've not really written a book on marriage. So I wrote this one with the focus on the one person who's reading it, because I think there can be a tendency for us to focus on either we need to do this together or to focus on how the other person needs to change so I can be happy. And what I'm suggesting in this book is that God designed the marriage as a relational place where we can all grow and develop. It's where our sanctification is found. So, and it's tested there. So what I did was I created 12 different activities that we can do for ourselves in the marriage. Now, if the partner wants to participate, all the more beneficial it is, because now we're learning together. But I find that that if I just work on myself in the marriage, not only does it improve the marriage, but it certainly improves me, even if the my partner doesn't respond, especially respond the way I'd like. So I think that's going to be the key item. Now, let me just tell you also, as an aside, I'm a teaching pastor at my church, and I wanted to, last year, start some marriage mentoring. And in the marriage mentoring process, I was looking for some curriculum that we could use. And there's a lot of good curriculum out there, but there wasn't something exactly what I wanted. So what I wanted was something that had activities in it that partners could do in their relationship and practice in their relationship. And there's a lot, I don't mean to criticize other things that are out there. It's a lot of good things. But what I'm seeing, what I wanted was something that was heavy on the, excuse me a minute. Let me get a drink here. That was heavy on the activity. So I created these 12 different activities, put them in a book, and gave the book out to every person in my church who is either married or wishes they were married. I give it to young people because I want young people to be able to practice these skills before they get married. And so they're kind of sheepishly taking a copy off of our Connect table, but I give them away. Copies of books to all of those people. And of course, people can buy them now through the National Center for Biblical Parenting. But I'm getting all these positive feedback from people that, wow, I really appreciated chapter 4, and man, I needed chapter 8, and so on. So we're going to look at chapter 1 today, and I think you'll get the feel of this and the activity-based process that it involves.
Yeah, and I must say that I really love the title, Activate Your Marriage. Even in the title, you can see that there's an action based book. So I really love that. Just as we do with our children when we practice with them and do the therapy and we do the different activities, it's probably the most recognized way of actually making a difference and learning new skills, learning new ways. So so intrigued and so curious. I haven't started to read it yet, but I will surely do. Dr. Scott, let's talk about the first chapter. So the first chapter is called Thankfulness, and the subtitle is Cultivating a Heart of Gratitude in Your Marriage. And you start by actually defining what gratitude and what thankfulness is. And I'll just quickly read those because I really love that. Gratitude, developing a heart that values the positives, embracing a mindset that highlights blessings rather than shortcomings. Thankfulness, choosing to focus on the good around me by acknowledging and communicating the blessings of kindness, efforts, and contributions of God and others. I find that really excellently spot on written. So would you give us a overview of this chapter and what your thinking was, and maybe a bit of the details in the activities or how you thought about it?
Sure. Well, first of all, every chapter starts with a character quality we need to develop in our lives, because I think that's what sanctification is. It's the development of this godliness inside of us, which is a different way to think. If you define a character quality, we can define a character quality as a pattern of thinking and acting in response to its challenge. Mm. Well, if I can identify 12 character qualities that would make a marriage stronger, then it means we're going to think differently and act differently. So we start with the character quality, in this case, gratitude. But then I also include a very practical task or an exercise that if we work on this exercise, then we will develop this quality of gratitude. And in this case, I chose thankfulness. So some people don't know the difference between those, but the reality is that gratitude is a heart quality. Hmm. And thankfulness is an activity that we do. And our thankfulness that comes out of us in our actions and our speech can foster in us this quality of gratitude. So just so powerful to have these character qualities in our lives. Now, I find this to be very important because sometimes in marriages, we aren't as thankful as we should be. And if we can, in the frustrations, the things that we have, we can be grateful, then good things can happen. And so I just think gratitude is this foundational quality that we all need in our lives. And it can stabilize us, really. If you look at how many times and in how many ways gratitude and thankfulness are mentioned in the Bible, it is stunning. It is really stunning. It's yeah. used for anxiety management in Philippians chapter 4. It's used in worship when we go into the worship experience. Mm-hmm. It's used kinds of different ways that it's used when we obey the Lord. When we do these things, serve the Lord, and we serve him with thankfulness, it just does so many good things. So if we take that and apply it to marriage, good things can come in the marriage because now I'm developing a heart that's more thankful instead of critical. So it becomes this great way to, I think, to help adults in the midst of their challenges, make some changes in their lives.
Mm, I really like that. And especially because you focus on heart and also on the action, on the activity. So I like that rich, Bible saturated book. And I look at through the chapter now and I see how many Bible references there are, and it's really, really so well presented also from that perspective, which is very important, I think, especially for this day and age. Dr. Scott, how did you find combining or bringing together, let's say, the challenges of our daily marriage and being thankfulness in a world where we are so used to just get what we want whenever we want it and maybe not be so thinking about being thankful of having gratitude? How do you think that is something so important for the marriage, and especially as you mentioned, related to the Bible?
I don't think gratitude comes naturally for most people. I think it's something we have to work at. I think that thankfulness is something that we have to teach. I mean, when we work with children, don't we often say to kids,
yeah.
"Hey, what do you say?" You know, how we give them something, we say, "What do you say?" And
yeah.
so we teach them to be thankful. I think that's good. I think we tend to focus on problems,
yeah.
and then we don't think about the things that are good. Here's an interesting statement from the Bible. In 1 Corinthians, you know, the book of 1 Corinthians is all about problems.
Yeah.
These people in had all kinds of problems, and Paul's going to speak to all of those problems, but he starts this way in verse 4 of chapter 1. He says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. He starts with thankfulness. He begins with gratitude, and you know, he just acknowledges the grace that God has is at work in these Corinthians. And I think that's a great way to start, especially if you've got some challenge you're going to be speaking about. Let's start with gratitude. It just reminds me of the things we do with kids sometimes. When we have a vision meeting, we start with, let's talk about the positive, what you're growing in, before we talk about the problem that we need to fix. So I look for ways to develop this, but certainly looking at God's word, it helps me to see the power of this concept in the inner being of a person.
What could we do as parents and as husband and wife to actually, in a very simple way, without too much complication or too much intricacy, how can we increase the way we become, the way we are thankful? And how can we do that without having to work too hard for it?
Yeah, okay. So I do think for some it's a lot of work, but I do think we have to pause.
Mm-hmm.
Have to intentionally change our mindset or look for this mindset, knowing that it's so beneficial for our own hearts. So I encourage people, you know, take three things you're grateful for today, for each day. And here's what's very interesting. Just in general, in your life, if I ask a group of people, write down three things you're thankful for, they're going to write these things down like, I'm grateful for my family, I'm grateful for my church, I'm grateful for my job. And I think, that great. Okay, we've got these three things. Now, tomorrow, I want you to think of three things you're grateful for that you didn't list already. And so now we have this running list. You know what that's going to do for a person? Now it's going to help them start thinking about the daily gratitude, the thanks that we have for God for the sunrise that I saw this morning, or for helping me to find that thing that was lost, or for the opportunity I had to have a significant conversation with my spouse. I've moved then from these big things that I'm grateful for, which are, we need to be grateful for them. They're really important that we're grateful for the big, but we also need to come to this place where we recognize that every day there are things taking place that we're grateful for. I'm grateful for the ability to enjoy this good food I'm eating. Lord, I'm grateful for the sleep. It wasn't all that great last night, but I'm grateful that I got some sleep and I'm not all that tired today. Lord, I'm just grateful for the privilege I have to spend time with my spouse today and just talk a bit or greet that person. And so I think all of the gratitude that we have changes us on the inside. You know, there's a medical doctors have written, I mean, there's articles written on this in medical journals about how the power of gratitude. Sometimes it's called the power of three. This is how it was introduced to me. A doctor came up to me and said, are you familiar with the power of three? And I said, no, I don't think I know what you're talking about. And she said, well, there's these studies that have been done about gratitude. And if you can think of three things you're grateful for every day, it will change your mindset and will have the same effect as some of these mood-altering drugs that we prescribe. I thought, oh, that's really interesting that gratitude does something to us that we really need. It changes the way we think, how we process life, changes our focus. Just, I think, a really helpful thing. So that's why I think it's important. Let's practice it in marriage. I just think it can enhance the marriage in some great ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's going to shift more from looking at the negatives or looking at all the things that don't work into actually looking at, the glass half full, let's say. So I like that. And I really want to ask you one more thing related to this, which is, how do we actually share? Because there's something, how do we share the gratitude? Or how do we make that something that we, let's say, talk about? Because it's easy to say it in our heads and to keep it for ourselves. But as sometimes if we work together with our spouse, how do we actually share it and in a way that's, let's say, building things up?
Yeah, you know, this is different in every relationship. Some relationships are so deserted when it comes to positivity, that I say to someone, first do it in your own heart. So you're starting to develop this, but then pray for opportunity. And then maybe it's just in passing, maybe just walking through a room and you say, hey, thanks for making that coffee for me this morning. You know, something really simple. And you don't even have to hang around to have a dialogue about it. If, you know, if your relationship's really strained like that, or, you know, if a family, if a marriage is stronger, it's nice to just sit across the table from someone and say, you know, I just want to tell you, I appreciate sitting and talking to you and hearing about your day and being connected to you. I just, you know, when we do that, that's a more kind of an intense gratitude in the sense that, you know, the other person is sitting there, they're going to respond. So when we do that, I think it does something for us, certainly, but it also enhances the marriage relationship. People like to hear that kind of encouraging thing. And so we're adding to the marriage, even if the other person isn't participating. Okay, the other person doesn't have to be working on gratitude, but that doesn't change me. I need to be working on it. It's for me that God has built me a heart, and that heart needs to be full of gratitude. I want to use it.
Yeah, that is so true. And indeed, we are very, very easy going when it comes to complaining, and we complain, maybe we share only the things with our spouses that are not so good, but less so when we are thankful for them and when they do something nice and saying thank you and saying how we are actually grateful for what they're doing. So something to remember every single morning and every single day, Dr. Scott, absolutely amazing. And I really like that you end each chapter, or at least the first chapter I see, with a prayer. Which I find so useful, because it's so hard sometimes to find the right words to put it into words what we want to ask God for help. So I really appreciate that so much. Actually, how do you suggest to couples to do this, to read it together, to read it separately? What's a good way to approach this? On your own, of course, reading and doing it for yourself. But if, let's say, if two parents want to do it together, what's your recommendation?
You know, I get all kinds of feedback now about the book and how people are using it. Some people are reading the chapters out loud together and then talking about them. And then it's kind of fun, because the next day someone says, hey, I want to thank you for this. And they kind of wink at each other because they know it's coming from the book. One man told me, he says, I started reading this book. I'm just reading it for myself. And I said to my wife, I'm reading a marriage book. I want you to tell me if you can see some changes in me. You know, what he's doing is he's exploring it with his wife. She didn't agree to read it, but he's reading it, and maybe she will read it. I don't know. But the point is, he's saying to her, he's letting her know, I'm reading a book and I think it's changing me. And maybe if you see some changes, you could let me know. I thought that was kind of a creative way to involve both of them as well. So it could be used individually, certainly used together. And people will find it, because marriages can be complicated, and they're all, it's like going into a different culture. You know, you have to kind of figure everything out, and you never know what's the best way to implement. All I know is these 12 exercises will bring about major change in you, whether your spouse changed or not. And so let me show you what they look like. And then God can use even the most difficult marriage relationship to be an arena where you develop the godliness that God wants you to have in your life.
Yeah, amen. That sounds so encouraging. And I hope that parents listening to this podcast are going to go and have a read. Certainly something that's accessible. And I see you have it also in PDF and other formats, as well as the book itself. So really easy to get a hold of it. And if parents have questions, of course, about this chapter or about the book or anything related to what you have written, please feel free to contact Dr. Scott or write to Parenting is Hard Work. We are very curious to hear your feedback. Just like Dr. Scott mentioned, he's already receiving quite some positive feedback. So that's really encouraging. Dr. Scott, are there any final thoughts you want to share with us at the end of this episode?
I just want to remind you that your parent, the other spouse, doesn't have to participate for your marriage to get better. You can do your part. God can use this marriage for your sanctification. And yes, marriages sometimes get into a lot of trouble, but God can still use your challenging marriage, if it's challenging for you, to grow you in some ways that will be so powerful and important for your future. So keep that in mind. There's a lot of hope built into this book. Thanks for joining me today.